Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast. My name's Steve Hoare. Hope all is well where you are, yet we're about to bring you the best clips from our Red Men Plus content from the previous week. Say it all the time. All of these shows are available in full over on redmenplus.com. So if you want to go and sign up over there, get yourselves involved. These shows are available in video or in podcast form, so you can watch them on all your devices or you can listen to them while you're on the go. Kill some time on your commute, get some whatever on your runs and exercise and whatever you're doing, you can have us in your ears as well as in your eyes when you watch the shows as well. Right then, let's get on with things. The first show this week is the flagship show, of course. It's what we're all here for. It's to talk about the footy matches. And yes, on this week's show, obviously the final words after Liverpool beat AFC Bournemouth 3-1. Delighted to be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Chris Pajak, and by the wonderful, wonderful Jay Pearson to discuss Liverpool's first win of the season.
Let's talk. So I was like, Chris, he goes and plays centre-back next to him. His interview after the game was brilliant. He basically said, didn't he? He said the manager had to keep telling me to calm down, like you're playing six now, because he kept going on these mazy runs, and fair fuck to him, he was doing them well as well. Doesn't get a goal and things like that, but I just think, as home debuts go, that was as impressive I've been by for a long time for a Liverpool player. I thought, both as an eight, I thought he was outstanding, and I thought when he went back and played number six, he was equally as good. Liverpool just give him the ball, like, just give us a minute. I don't care what the fuck you do with it, but we just need a rest. And he was like, sound okay, I'll just go and run over there, or I'll play a ball down the line. I thought, again, it shows the intelligence of him. He spoke really well. We were down to 10. We felt bad for Macher. We had a job to do, and we all did it. I thought, like, he was outstanding, really.
He was by far and away for me the player of the game. I quietly have been underwhelmed during pre-season with Szoboszlai. I think it's so easy to focus on McAllister's distribution and where he's cropped up and all that type of stuff. It's hard to say underwhelmed might be a bit strong, to be honest with you, but I was waiting to hang my hat on something, and it was the first home game of the season that he does it. It was that driving run down there outside of two players, and I was like, where's this boy? I mean, this is powerful, this is fast, you know, you've got the ability to go and get there. And everything he did just seemed to, he linked up really well, he tracked back really hard, he made it difficult for his opposition number. First thing you've got to do on a football field is you've got to win your battle, and he absolutely beasted his battle, and then he won a couple more as well. So for me, it was outstanding, and I'm so excited now to see where he can take it, because that's his first one. I mean, he ran the game. That's what you'd expect from a seasoned midfielder. Mm. Well, you know, Gerrard ran loads and loads of games at Liverpool. Szoboszlai ran the game. You know, can Szoboszlai run the game 36 more times over the course of this season in the Premier League? If so, fucking winner, mate. Yeah. Absolute winner.
That, Jay, it's a different role, so you've got to be careful. I don't want to disparage people who have just exited the football club, but you could see the difference that, like, the pace and the power and the legs had. When Jordan Henderson played that, he was a different role, don't get me wrong, but near the end of the season, it kind of wasn't. He was still asked to be a number eight, and he did it in a different way. Of course, he's a 30-year-old fella, it's going to be different, but
who can't run?
And his legs looked like they were struggling, and yeah, Alex Ferguson never thought he could run in the first place. But what you saw, I thought, with Szoboszlai was the ability to beat a man in that position is key, and he beat two of them at once and left them on their arses. Is that he is quick and he's strong and he's powerful, but he's got the, we saw with the penalty as well, he's got the technique as well. He looks like, You know, if you build like what Liverpool want from number eight in the lab, you can't come out with Dom Szoboszlai. He's big, strong, quick, powerful, good on the ball, can shoot. He's obviously got goals in him.
Great technique.
Technique's unbelievable.
And looks the part.
Oh, he's a very handsome man. He's I met him at once.
I meant in football terms, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he just like glides. He's silky. He's sexy to watch.
And... Yeah, and he's just sexy. I will have that kit launch. He's a very handsome man as well. And it just feels like...
In like a minute, you just have to bring that up. Anything else you want to tell us?
I could go again. It's not going to stop, but it was like, okay. It was almost like... You know when you upgrade a computer game and it just modernises a little bit, it looks like Liverpool have just modernised that position. Everything just looks like it's got souped up a little bit, and that's perfect because I thought he was outstanding.
We've been crying out for that time in midfielder for a long time, haven't we?
It's kind of meant to be what Oxlade-Chamberlain was meant to be.
Absolutely, and I'm sure... You
know, was meant to be.
And God bless the Ox, you know, if it weren't for that injury against Rome, he probably would have done. But again, no disrespect to Keita, just didn't work out for him. But we've been crying out for this type of player for years in that midfield, and we've now got it. And you know, not to go on like... and we could be here all day about it, but Chris nailed it. What Chris said is just absolutely perfect. I'm so excited for him now for the rest of the season, and we're very lucky to have a player like that. And I think you know, he's really hungry as well to get in the squad and perform as well.
And him talking about it afterwards, you know, I want to play there 1,000 more times at Anfield. Like, I mean, because it did end up being a really loud atmosphere in the ground and stuff after the first sort of few minutes and that, and really turned it round there. And it was a great welcoming for somebody like a Dom Szoboszlai. And as I say, I was a bit harsh before with underwhelmed. I've misphrased that, but you know, I hadn't seen exactly what it was we'd bought. I saw that for the first time at the weekend. And you know, it does fill you with excitement because he's got absolutely everything. And the question marks were, you know, is he going to be able to do this week in, week out? And we'll see in the fullness of time, of course, but he's got the ability to absolutely beast teams.
Yeah,
and the physicality is the one I was most impressed with. Like, I think Kate had the ability to do some of the stuff he did. Touch wood, Szoboszlai doesn't get injuries. Kate was never on the pitch, but also he wasn't really physical. I think at times you saw Szoboszlai using that frame. You know, the one where he goes around the last two of them and that burst of speed and he's just shrugging people away. That's what you need in the Premier League. You mentioned before, Jay Endo got put on his arse, and he did, and he missed himself. It's like, wow, okay, this is. It looked like Szoboszlai knew what was coming. Like, he's already like, all right, Sand. You know, he's a big unit. He can carry himself.
Thanks to Jay and thanks to Chris for that one. Yeah, it was delightful. Love talking about when the Reds win footy matches, because effectively that's what we're all in the business for. Right then, let's move on to the Biased Transfer Podcast. Yes, it was Paul, Chris, Chloe and Dan. And this is the one show, I say it every week, where we get to have a little chat with everyone else, have a little peek around the corner, see what's going on elsewhere, and often just laugh at other footy teams. So yeah, here's this week's clip from the Biased Transfer Podcast.
Manchester United, Harry Maguire. Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag is happy the defender is staying at the club. Erik ten Hag says he is happy Maguire is staying and that the defender must now fight for his position in the squad. No shit.
Pans out, gun pointed firmly to his head. I'm really happy that Harry Maguire is staying at the football club.
Tell your face, mate.
He's had a week. It's telling that he was more staunch in his defence of Mason Greenwood than he has been in Harry Maguire. Maguire made 8 Premier League starts last season, set to join West Ham, but a 30 million move fell through. Maguire basically wants to stay and fight for his place.
Read as Maguire likes his 300 grand a week and would consider keeping his 300 grand a week and not playing football.
Why wouldn't you? Also, bear in mind, he helped, you know what, fair play to him, because he helped Sevilla to win that European Cup, by the way. Europa League, United were 2-0 up, and obviously Harry Maguire played, I think it was the second leg, decided to score a couple of own goals. Oh, what a man. I love that, though. This is what you get for paying ridiculous money on players. I love that the fact that he's just decided, you know what, I don't even give a shit. I'm not going to win anything with Man United anyway. I'm not going to win anything with West Ham. Might as well just stay in and get 300 grand.
It is down to money, because there was this dispute over the pay, because obviously West Ham weren't going to give him the same wages. So he wanted a payout from United to leave, and they weren't willing to give him it.
Man United,
12 million, I think it was.
Man United are a so mess, good. Aren't they? They're such a mess. And it's kind of like, they continue, they just do this. They kind of like deflect away from it by certain transfers and stuff. It's like they signed Onana. I said this before. They're going to absolutely loathe him. They are. They're just going to absolutely loathe him. They needed to get another interim goalie to have that break from David De Gea. Someone like, it's like the Karius break, I'll call it, which is your transition of a worse but cheap goalie who stylistically suits you so that you can get used to it, but then have a scapegoat to throw to the Wolves at the end of it, basically. Obviously, if it wants to cost them a Champions League final as well, that would be magic. But and then you go get the really good one, but like, he's going to do some stupid things this season and their heads are going to fall off in a big way.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he
cleared everybody out to try and get that football, didn't he? It's like, lad, what are you doing?
He windmilled across the penalty area. Yeah, I know. But there's Harry Maguire stuff. I mean, they don't want him. They were playing Luke Shaw at centre half instead of him.
Look, if it was Liverpool, we'd be sitting here going, listen, they don't want everyone to know that, you know, they want everyone to know that they're still happy for him to play, keep his value and yada, yada, yada. But it's not. It's United, they're idiots.
Yeah.
But it is ultimately, well, that's what it comes down to.
They've got no money, though. This is the problem, is that they're fucked for FFP. So they're panicking. So they need him to go. They need McTominay to go. And again, but this is the knock-on impact. And we'll talk about
this
Chelsea.
This is what happens when you put people on loads and loads of dough.
Yeah.
Like Liverpool fell foul of this a little bit, and people were willing to see out the last year of the contract and roll the dice on how many performances they get, because they know that they've got a good chance of getting trophies, a few minutes here and there, and you're earning a wedge. Manchester United just done it worse than us, well worse than us.
Well, that's the thing, you know, said this about the De Gea stuff. The guy was on 350 grand a week as not even in the top five best goalies in the league, but the most highly paid of the lot of them. And again, they keep doing this because that's how Manchester United do. They throw money at problems. And I just think it's hilarious that they're in this situation now. And again, you know, as much as there's critiques of how Liverpool been running, you know, Liverpool are not a perfectly run football club, but Man United don't seem to get anywhere near as much shit for what they do, because they spend money.
Well, they're 10 years away from winning a league title now. That's what we're at with Manchester United, isn't it? You know, a full decade. I mean, they're a third of the way through our 30 years. That's how quickly it can change, you know, at the top. And they don't look any closer than they did 5 years ago to me. They've made the decision to stick with Ten Hag. They've made the decision to continue ploughing loads of money in. They've made the decision to try and get a director of football in and all this type of stuff. Everything they're doing is not working, and it won't work until there's some proper joined up thinking and they've got change of ownership.
They've bought Hoyland for a start. He's still injured, so he hasn't played for them yet. They've got Marcus Rashford, who apparently doesn't want to play centre forward for them, which is stupid. You just tell him to shut up, to go and score some goals and get on with it, mate. They've got.
Is that true? Because all I heard was he doesn't mind where he plays. He wants to be the number nine and all this. And now all I'm here this pre-season is, oh, I want to play out on the left and all this type of stuff, and everyone giving him shit. I thought he wanted to be the main man at Manchester United.
Apparently not. Well, he wants to be the main man from the left. He just doesn't want to be the number nine because he thinks his best position's out on the left, and he's been public
How much are they paying that Antony just does fucking twirls?
He's mad, him. Like, did he pay like 80 million for him or something, like, as well? Like, you know, it's insane. Honestly, the crackers.
He's crap, man.
The crackers, honestly. And they're playing rubbish footy as well. I mean, just the transition into the weekend. I caught the end of the Spurs United game, and
they were shit.
They were shit. But Tottenham, Flav was telling me this from the Fighting Cock podcast, saying how much they've had such a good time in pre-season. They've just had too many years of like pragmatic managers from Mourinho and Conte. Is not what they want to see. You know, he's always said, we just want to have fun. We kind of don't even care whether we win anything. We just want to enjoy the ride. They've got Ange Postecoglou in, who's obviously all about the attacking footy. And I'd said, I did the playlist last week, and they were saying who's the best signing of the summer, and I put Maddison higher than like Declan Rice, because Spurs are going to absolutely adore him because he's a brilliant footballer and he's a character. He's just going to have loads of fun, and I watched him play for them and was like, yeah, you know, he's running the show, he's drifting into pockets of space, he's picking passes, he's getting into the box, and they've got all these runners, Bissouma, so we were talking about him on Saturday, weren't we? Like, what, oh my God, remember Bissouma? He was the one, wasn't he, a year ago, no one's spoken about him. He was absolutely brilliant, Pappsar driving through the middle. They've obviously got, they haven't got a goal scorer, they've got Richarlison up front, which is a huge issue.
That's looks like the one for me. Like, I think he looks fucking boss, isn't he?
But they look like they're having a boss time. They did. They were miles better than United. Miles better.
On the other side as well is, growing up, I've always known Manchester United to be very bullish about their own performance, be dead honest with it. You had Bruno Fernandes coming out the other day. He'd missed an absolute... I don't even know how he'd missed one of the biggest sitters I've ever seen in football. And instead of coming out and talking about how, like, yeah, we just weren't good enough today, you know, disappointed in my performance, probably should have scored there. He turned around and all he spoke about was this penalty, and how last week everyone was going on about how, oh, Nana should have gave away a penalty. What about this Sam Ball? We didn't get a penalty. And I just thought to myself,
he said, I'm going to be sat here waiting. I'm sat here waiting for the apology. You'd be sat there waiting a long time. You little
He's a
rat.
He's horrible, though. I'm not surprised.
That's their captain, though. No, that's the mentality.
He's the worst
now.
Appointment of a captain ever.
I totally agree with that. And this, you know, we were saying it, we were a little concerned over Van Dijk. And, you know, my general tone is, don't make your best player your captain. But they've done that. And again, it speaks to Man United.
He's also
their
biggest tit.
Yes. And that's saying something, because they've got a few tits there.
The butcher is up there as well.
Fucking hell. The only thing he's butchered is his fucking hair. The
butcher the clearance of the weekend.
He's fucking rough. I'm not having Lisandro Martinez. I'm not having Bruno Fernandes as captain. I'm not having spending £70 million on a lad who scored 9 Serie A goals and making him your main man. I'm not having that.
I'm not having all of it.
So yeah, can we just talk about Casemiro as well? Because we were saying, so, and I'm happy to put this on the podcast. Yeah. I'm not a stick insect, but I'm not a professional athlete, and I am nowhere near as round as Casemiro in the face. Like, he's either storing nuts for the winter, or he's got a thyroid problem that we haven't diagnosed yet, or whatever. Or he's just living it up on Man United wages with no expectation. They're a fucking mess, and I'm here for it all day long. That's twice now. They got away with a big one against Wolves last week, didn't they?
Who then got battered the other day by Brighton.
Yeah. Wolves were well better than them. Ask a question. Does anyone know what is Erik ten Hag's style of play?
Bald.
What is Ten Hag ball? What does that look like? What is he trying to accomplish?
You'd imagine, only because of the fact he was the Ajax manager, it would be sort of akin to the way they wanted
pass
to play
the ball.
Possession based football.
That's not based on watching United, though, is it?
That's only because he was Ajax for so long.
If you use your eyes, Johan Cruyff used to play for them.
Exactly. And the fact I have to go back to the fact he was once Ajax manager suggests it hasn't quite worked yet, Manchester United.
Yeah, so. Roy Hodgson was Liverpool manager.
Yeah, precisely that,
I presume it's a passing style. There'll be, I guess, some sort of work rate and press involved in it. But the, like, what?
Paul, you've got to remember, he's not been able to instigate his style of play because of David De Gea. You know, that's what the Man United fans have been saying for the last year plus or whatever it is, however long he's been in charge now. It's completely impossible to instigate a style of football with your 10 outfield players without your goalkeeper being able to play
and
it too.
Also on top of that, you know, spending £300 million already, you know, that's not in that. We need to up it really to get the squad that he wants.
Glazers out. Fucking three. And this is going to go back to it. They're a mess. They're spending stupid sums of money on stupid players. Look, Mason Mount, I'd have been made up with Mason Mount if we got him. You know, we were very highly linked to him. I think he'd have been a terrific Liverpool player as well. But he's not what they need. Not that they didn't need midfield. We did this last week, I think, or the week before. They didn't need midfielders. But they needed a guy who scores 30 goals a season to play up front for them. Like, do that, box that first and foremost, because that's going to cost you all the money to sort that. Go and do it. Go and get that done, and then go and work out everything else off the back of it. But the thing is, I think they're falling foul of this under Solskjaer. They finished second in the Premier League, and Rio Ferdinand's coming out and going, oh, second, finished above Liverpool, second, better than Liverpool. You just finished second because Liverpool and Chelsea were shite. That's why. You know, that's what you've done. Two of the main contenders for that spot absolutely fell off a cliff last season for similar but a variety of reasons. And I think they've used that as like a false comfort for how good, how far along they are in their development, because they were supposed, we talk about all the time, Chris, it's dead easy to be a counter-attacking team when you're a good team with low expectations. But Man United don't keep those expectations for long. You don't get to, people aren't going to naively play you that way after a while. And I don't think he's ready to transition them into being a possession-based side. So I can't see how they're going to do the season.
I must admit, like, you know, taking the sort of blinkers off for a little bit and the bias glasses, the red tinted glasses and all that.
That's
like,
a different podcast,
yeah, sorry. I definitely felt at the start of last season he was instilling something into Manchester United. I felt they plateaued big time after maybe 2 months and only really regressed from there. Now, I think the Onana thing, I was joking about it. I think it does obviously help. I think we've seen that when you try and play out from the back, you do need a goalkeeper who can instill some kind of confidence and not concede loads of stupid goals. So that will have an impact, but I just don't see that the other players are good enough. And I actually never really thought about what style of play Ten Hag plays. I think it's a really good question. I've got no idea. I haven't thought about it for 5 minutes or so. I couldn't tell you at the moment because he's got good players in some areas of the field, and it just seems to be that that's what he's relying on, and that's what Manchester United have kind of been relying on for a while. And he comes across like a, you know what, I think everyone's got a little bit of this in them, certainly me and you have, Paul, but when someone tells you something, your natural reaction, I know, I'm going to do it the other way. You need a striker? No, I fucking don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm going to do it this way. Lad, you just need a striker.
Yeah.
Like that would have solved all your problems there, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's got battle in on the job. That kid might be good. He might be really good. But you need somebody best in class is what you need. You need someone. If you're going to play, I don't think you can get in the top four without a guy who scores 30 goals. Maybe they're hoping Rashford is enough plus, and then adding him might add a little bit to it. And again, they might have looked at it last season and gone, well, he's better than what we are. He's better than Weghorst, so that means we should be better. But you forget that everyone else is going to be better. Stupid. But long may it continue.
Thanks to Paul and the guys for that one. Right then, let's move on to expert insight. Dan Clubb, as he always does when Liverpool are linked or talked, whatever about in terms of maybe being interested in a player, Dan is the man in terms of getting everyone you need on the blower to find out exactly what's going on straight from the horse's mouth. Well, this week, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Andre, and there'll be more on him later in Journo Insight clip. But Liverpool's interest is definitely there. Liverpool, it was reported a long time ago that Liverpool have at least inquired about the Brazilian. So Dan wants to find out all about him. So he went and got on the phone with his former youth team manager, Eduardo Oliveira. So yeah, here's what Eduardo had to say about a potential future Liverpool midfield.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Gilda.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Redmen TV. My name is Dan Clubb, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Eduardo Oliveira, former Fluminense youth coach, to speak about Andre. Eduardo, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yes, man. Always good, and it's a pleasure to talk about Andre with you guys, and hopefully it's going to be a good talking, and we can get from there.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. Like I mentioned, you were a coach at Fluminense, under-20s, under-17s level. When did you first come across Andre, and what were your initial thoughts when you did meet him?
I worked with Andre from 2018 all the way to 2021. Mm-hmm. So pretty much he was from 17 years old all the way to 20 years old. So he was always a player that impressed me because he is very good on the ball. He is good physically, so he can protect the ball and also build the game up. And defensively, he has a strong body in order to steal the ball and keep possession for our team. So it's something that he always impressed me with, the quality that he has on the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned some of his qualities there. In terms of his technical qualities then, I found an interview you did a few years ago and you said he was an athlete with extreme potential. What was it about him that made you so impressed? What made him stand out from some of the other lads?
I'll give you an example. We had a goal for him that he would have to steal 12 balls a game when he was a U17. And he made that number up to 15. You know, so he's a guy that if you give him a goal, he wants to go up to that goal. You know, he tests himself. So that's something that we always created in training sessions and always a game also. So he could just improve himself in different aspects of the game. You know, the second aspect that he improved a lot since he started for the first team at Fluminense was his long-range shot. That's something that he didn't have very well when he was a youth level. And now I can see he's shooting the ball better, but still it's a point of his game that he can improve better, you know what I mean? But he's still, he does a lot of stuff there in practice in order to reach their maximum level, you know? That's something exciting for a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there in terms of his working hard in training. Is that something he's always done? Has he always put the extra effort in? Because Liverpool recently signed Szoboszlai, and I had some conversations with his managers and his former managers, and they'd say he'd stick around after training, he'd really put the work in. Was Andre similar?
Yeah, I think Andre tries to test himself every time. Though I don't think he's a guy that it's okay with being ordinary, you know, mediocre. You know, he just want to be the best that he can be. I don't know. I never had a problem with his ego. Andre is not a guy with an ego. He's always been a captain for teams in the youth, you know. He had a drive to improve, and that's something that it's special in a team. You know, his teammate was João Pedro, that's at Brighton right now, and both of them were pretty much the same. You know, they wanted to beat each other, you know, even though they're different positions, but they wanted to just beat themselves. You know what I mean? There wasn't nothing personal with anybody else in the team. You're just them trying to improve themselves and being the best version that they could be.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there, Eduardo, he was a captain in the youth levels. What was it about him that made him a captain, really? Was he a leader? Was he a leader on the pitch? Was he a leader off the pitch? What was it that made him sort of an obvious choice to be a captain of those sides?
Andre is a guy that leads by example. You know, his work ethic, you know, his dedication, and he is always a humble guy in order to prove the others in front of him, you know. So this is something that I think is there are qualities for a leader, there are qualities for captains, and that's why he deserved it to be a captain during the time that he was in youth, you know. So this is something that I think he is getting better, you know, with the opportunities to be in the national team now and playing the pros, playing with Marcelo and Fluminense, you know. So I can tell you that probably he's better than he was back in the day when I was coaching him.
Yeah, absolutely. You said there he's played for Brazil. He's obviously got that one cap. It was against Senegal recently. Do you think his development in terms of what he's done since he was with you and his development in the first team, do you think he'll go on to become a regular for the Brazil national side?
I think so. I think the way that he's doing nowadays is just getting better and better every game. And the Brazilian coach is the same coach that Fluminense is right now, you know, and it's a guy that he's reliable. You know, I think that's a perfect word for him. You know, I can see him, Bruno Guimarães, those type of guys, they are very reliable, you know, because they work very hard and they have the skill, you know. So you put those two qualities together, I mean, you can play anywhere in the world.
Thanks to Dan and thanks to Eduardo for that one. Right then, moving on, let's do Geno Inside Time. I had Neil Jones in studio yet again, and there have been some reports of Liverpool's interest and even an official bid being made for Andre. Now, it appears, from what Neil's about to tell us, that might not be completely accurate, although the interest in the player is definitely there. So, yeah, here's what Neil Jones had to say about Andre on this week's Geno Insight. There was a report, I'll bring it up actually, from ESPN that said that Liverpool had a €30 million offer for Fluminense midfielder André rejected by the Brazilian club. Sources have confirmed to ESPN Brazil the Merseyside club want André to join them before the transfer window closes, but Fluminense are reluctant to sell to let the Brazilian international leave before the end of the season. He's also spoken out himself, and basically said, yeah, I'm happy, I'm focused on the game. They've obviously got the Copa Libertadores. Easy for me to say, tonight at time. Tomorrow morning. So where we're at with André now, Liverpool, where Liverpool in terms of actually making a bid. I think there was reports a few weeks ago, again, it was around the Lavia stuff, that Liverpool had at least been in contact and asked the stuff. But this news of a bid's relatively fresh now, these reports of a bid anyway.
Yeah, I'd say denied by Liverpool that they've made a bid. Not denied that they've had contact with Fluminense this summer. I don't know how sort of extensive that contact was. I think it's one of them. And there's a new phrase that's popped up this summer about conditions of the deal, you know, that sort of, or terms and conditions of the deal, sort of what are you kind of looking for, what sort of, how open to selling are you, what's your sort of ballpark asking price, that kind of thing. In terms of an actual bid, yeah, Liverpool have been quite quick to deny that's taken place. And it does, I mean, all of the sort of, even ignoring that sort of element to it, all of the sort of pointers really have pointed towards Fluminense keeping him, haven't they? You know, and being keen to keep him. I think André, his interview was classic sort of player, wasn't it? Linked with club. It was like, oh, I'm flattered. It's great, you know, great to hear that big clubs are looking at me, but I'm focusing on this and I've got this to do. They've got a big game at Olympia, isn't it? Off Paraguay,
yeah.
Early hours. And then the second leg will be early hours of deadline day. So that would be interesting if Liverpool were to, or anyone else were to make a move. But yeah, in terms of this bid, that's the Liverpool end of it, that they've said no.
On that, again, I don't know if this has been reported much or if it's just people putting two and two together, but like everyone senses, this might be just one that they do for January. Also, the fact that the lad's been playing all year, like he hasn't had a break yet. So even if you signed him now, like he's probably going to need a little bit, he'll be knackered for the start. But yeah. You know, he's been playing since, I think it's February or something, he's been playing a while.
Yeah, they've run calendar year.
It's almost like we're all just kind of thinking, oh yeah, well he'll just, the expectation is he'll come in January, but A, that's not guaranteed, I suppose, and B, in terms, you still have to leave a space open in your squad for that guy to come in January, unless you're certain someone else is going to go before. And like, I don't know, am I wrong in thinking like we shouldn't just assume anything really? It feels like this one's like everyone's, oh yeah, well he'll be here in January. It's like, well, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on that one.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't assume anything in regards to Liverpool and transfers, to be perfectly honest. But I think he's one that, if you look at him, you say his price tag's obviously quite favourable for any club, but for Liverpool as well, who've shown a desire to get value. His age is Liverpool's hitting zone. He's at a sort of a level where, yeah, he's proven a fair bit, but he's still got a lot to do. And he plays in a position and he's got a style that looks like it would, you know, add something to Liverpool. I think the only question I would have is obviously biggest question I have is how quickly are you ready to go from the Brazilian Championship and into the Premier League and starting games? And you know, that would be the question. There's not too many, is there? You know, you think of, you know, Gabriel Jesus came over, didn't he? I'm just trying to think of other players who've come straight from Brazil into the Premier League. There's not too many. A lot of them tend to have a stop off somewhere in Europe, don't they? You know, you think of obviously Coutinho, Firmino, Fabinho, Alisson, you know, Casemiro, whoever. They all, not many players are sort of oven ready to go straight into the Premier League, are they? You know, some are, of course, and it's not impossible, but that would be the question you'd have to ask. Liverpool have obviously liked him enough to ask about him, so I certainly wouldn't steer anyone away from him. But in terms of this bid that's been made and rejected, yeah, Liverpool sources are saying no.
Yeah, flat out denying it. We'll see how it goes on that. Any, like, I don't know, we're a week and a day away from. No, was it a week? No, it's a week and a day. A week tomorrow.
1st of September.
1st of September, transfer deadline day, 11 pm. Are you expecting to be busy? You would be busy, or Liverpool to be busy? Because
I'm always busy.
You know, I mean, you'll find something to do, mate. Devil makes way for our lands and all that. But it does feel like the last few days have been relatively quiet. And again, that could be a good thing. It could be, who knows? Listen, we signed with Taro Endo rather at 9 pm on a Wednesday, out of nowhere, kind of, that just dropped. So
I don't know, there seems to be a little bit of a mood, and we see it more than often. Obviously, people contacting us and tweets and Discords and whatever, saying, like, you know, what's happening, what's going on. What's your general sense of this last weekend and a little bit? Because Jürgen kind of ruled out the outgoings. I know there's been some Mo Salah nonsense, but that's just, I can't see that. Nat Phillips might be the only one who potentially leaves as a permanent. There's some loans there. But I don't know, do you got the sense that the people are still looking to do something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a press conference tomorrow morning. I'm sure Jürgen, you know, listen, I can't remember the last time there was a press conference and Jürgen wasn't asked about signings, really, even out of transfer window season. So there will definitely be comments from Jürgen tomorrow. And he's been consistent, hasn't he? You know, look, you know, we don't make promises, but we're looking. And if the solution's out there, from his point of view, it would be crazy if he was happy with what he's got at the moment. And I don't mean necessarily in terms of quality, I just mean in terms of depth and numbers. You know, you look at the players they've lost. You know, Liverpool struggled to get a competitive side out, or a good side out for much of last season, and they had Milner, Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Firmino, Fabinho and Henderson available. Since then, all of those six have left, plus Arthur Melo, who obviously, okay, but he was signed to sort of alleviate that crisis, and he's left even that. And they've only got three in, and obviously, let's say you had Ben Doak as a first-team player and you had Stefan Bajcetic as a first-team player, you're still short. You're still short of numbers. And if you say that Fabinho and Henderson were two unexpected, you know, departures, well, at the very least, you need to replace both of them, don't you? You know, if you were planning for the season with those two and they've both gone, then you need to replace them, don't you? So I can't imagine Liverpool are... Anyone at Liverpool is happy, you know, inverted commas, with exactly where they are. Whether they can find the player or the deal that's going to improve that situation and, you know, the perfect signing in the final weeks or final days of the window remains to be seen. But they have to be looking, and they are looking, absolutely. And I wouldn't be amazed if, you know, you saw a bit of Gravenberch sort of development. You know, maybe Andre. You know, stranger things have happened, even though the mood music suggests not. They have to be looking at least one more player. I think they need to get two more players, but at least one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we'd all feel more comfortable if they could get themselves a defender and a midfielder. Again, the squad homegrown and all that kind of stuff kind of does make it a little bit tricky, and all those kind of rules. They've got themselves backed into a little bit of a corner with that one, in terms of it has to be a young one of them, would have to be a young or an English player, which
that's,
again,
that's what they do, really. You know, they
got a 20-year-old.
Yeah, they can easily, well, not easily, but that's a solution that's available to them. You know, you look at the midfield already, we're in August. You know, James McConnell's been on the bench for the first Premier League game of the season. You know, already Curtis Jones has picked up an injury. You know, Thiago's still not available yet, or certainly, you know, not ready to start games. Certainly, he hasn't even been on the bench yet. So, you know, the idea that you could sort of hide behind, but use that as, look, we've got this, we've got this, we've got this, we've got this. You haven't. You know, we know history tells you haven't got what you think you've got at the start of the season. Liverpool, you know, all clubs really. You know, I think there's a knock-on effect as well. That injuries are far more prevalent at the moment. You know, you look at Chelsea's injury. United have just lost Mason Mount. You know, you need that assurance further back. And, you know, Liverpool have been caught out two of the last three seasons, one at centre-back and one in midfield, by not having those assurances in place. It would be a dreadful decision from the club if they were to leave themselves in a similar position this time, having had those ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd all agree with that one. We'll see how it all pans out with like 8 days to go. Hopefully, York Schmag, because as many phone calls as possible, send as many messages as he can. Thank you very much to Neil for that one. And yeah, direct line to Liverpool Football Club. That's what you want, isn't it? That's who you want to speak to, someone who knows exactly what they're talking about. And if they don't know, they can go and ask the right people to find out. Absolutely perfect. So yeah, keep an eye on the Andre stuff at the transfer window. Where are we now? Maybe a week or so away from the deadline. Let's see who Liverpool do sign. Hopefully, fingers crossed, at least one player, hopefully two. Right then, let's park the transfers for a second, because I mentioned at the top of the show, we're here for Liverpool Football Club playing games. That's what we're here for. We want them to win every match they can. And this week's match, or this weekend's match rather, is a tough trip to St James's Park to play Newcastle United. And ahead of that game, I spoke to Carl from Newcastle Fans TV to get the insight in our opposition preview all about Eddie Howe's Magpies.
Like I did mention before, obviously, it was the same team. So for any Liverpool fans watching who don't know, very quickly, obviously, Pope was in goal. It was Trippier, Shaw, Botman and Byrne. That midfield three we've just spoken about. And it was Almiron and Anthony Gordon with Alex Isaac up front on his own. Looking ahead to the game at the weekend, mate, to see that being the same 11, obviously, Lewis Hall's just come in, but it might be a bit too much to go debut straight away, obviously, from Chelsea. Harvey Barnes has come off the bench a couple of times. Obviously, got a goal on that first game as well. He's the other option, obviously. Anthony Gordon was perhaps a little bit fortunate to stay on the pitch the other day. But if you were guessing what the 11's going to be, should we expect the same team for three games running, or can you envisage Eddie Howe making any changes?
The only change I could see, and it would be a really, really tight one, is like you said, maybe Harvey Barnes in for Anthony Gordon. And I think the only reason that might be is because we know Anthony Gordon, brilliant in terms of the tenacity that he's got, but is there going to be a bit of needle there? We know, he'd come out of Everton not the best way. He was kind of hounded out of the club, but that's not to say he still doesn't, have a passion for them. So I do worry about him losing his head in that first 45 if it's not going well, for example. So I would, I think we might go with Harvey Barnes. If that doesn't happen, I think it would be an unchanged side.
Yeah, and I say there's not too much as to why. But it is interesting because I was even looking at the bench that you guys had the other day. Livermento, £40 million signing. You've obviously mentioned there, I've just mentioned Harvey Barnes. You've still got Murphy, had a good season last season. Callum Wilson plays for England, is on the bench. Like, Eddie Howe does have options available. Because I was thinking for this season, now we found it a little bit when we first got back in the Champions League, it can be a bit of a slog. You're going to need that squad. I did notice the other day, Eddie Howe said Lewis Hall's probably going to be the last sign. He's not expecting any more incomings now. What's the general sense about Newcastle fans about that? Because are you happy enough with the squad? Like, say, Anderson and Longstaff, you brought up there as well. So there seems to be numbers, but I'll be honest, I was quite surprised that maybe they weren't going one or two more. I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is, I definitely think people would like at least one more centre-half, for example. But we have signed another young lad to go into the under-21 development squad. I can't remember his surname, from Milan, Irish lad. So there was a little bit of noise about him. But yeah, I think a centre-half, maybe another right-winger as well. Because like you say, we look at Miggy Almiron and Jacob Murphy, both very good on their day, but are they Champions League quality realistically? And this one, with the most respect to them, probably not. They're not that level. Do you know what I mean? So I agree with you. I think a lot of people would have liked one or two more signings just for that that depth, because we definitely are going to have a difficult season this season. I think anyone to expect us to do well in the Champions League and get Champions League again is going to be difficult for anybody, especially us, when we've got the resources, we can't necessarily spend them the way we want to. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But it's been a great start. I don't know how it's going to go against yourselves. I just think it's going to be a difficult season. It will be.
On that, mate, you mentioned, obviously, I'm just looking ahead towards the game. Before I look ahead, I can look back last year. Two very tight games. Obviously, Liverpool came out as the winners on both of them in very different circumstances. A very late winner at Anfield. And then, of course, Nick Pope got himself sent off at St James, and even that was a relatively close game, even though Newcastle only had 10. From a Liverpool fans point of view, it's like it feels like it's really difficult to score goals against Newcastle. You mentioned before, really good defensive record. Last season, Liverpool half struggled a little bit against them. Even this season, obviously, two goals, and actually the ones that you've conceded are the two really good goals. It's not like teams are carving Newcastle open. Liverpool are coming to town, and we've got this, I don't know what the word, reputation of being a very good attacking side. All through pre-season, we scored a lot of goals. Kind of struggled against Chelsea, looked a bit more dangerous against Bournemouth. I'm guessing, like you say, you don't know until the game's played, but you guys must have massive faith in that goalkeeper and back four to be able to keep anyone out, because, like you say, all last season and at the start of this season, it's gone pretty well again.
Certainly, I think the one thing, because I actually sit right at the front of the Gallagher, so I'm literally maybe three, four seats along from the post, and even though we were very good, Klopp and the Liverpool side had obviously worked on something, because, and I said this after, what he did expose, Sven Botman is fantastic, and I think he was one of the better centre-halves in the Premier League last season, for a young lad as well, but the difficulty that he has when a ball is played behind him and he's running back towards goal, facing goal, is one of his weaknesses. And you expose that when the ball was played through to Darwin Nunez for, I think it was for his first goal. And then it was played the same ball several times afterwards. And I was just like, oh, like we've done really well this season, but Liverpool have come in and kind of just found this gaping hole that nobody else has found. So that's the one thing I worry about. Klopp is obviously a very, very good tactician. Liverpool have always had a very, very good side of it, more than recently. We're always going to respect Liverpool in that sense because of the firepower that you've had in the past and the reputation that you have. So, yeah, there's definitely confidence there. But I think losing to Man City brought us down to earth a little bit because I think some of us got carried away. And we've got to get back to the point where we've got to respect an opposition like Liverpool. And I know Eddie Howe and the players will do, but the fans have as well, because the one thing we have going for us is when we're back in the team, and the last thing I want to start happening, I was worried that it can do, is that people's expectations get high, a few mistakes are made, get on the players' back, their heads go down, and then Liverpool take advantage, for example. So we just need to manage expectations, in my opinion, mate.
Flip reverse, mate, look at the other end of the pitch then. Obviously, Alex Isaac made his debut against Liverpool last August. Scored on his debut as well, of course. Now, went on to have a good season again. I watched him a couple of times, looks very impressive. Do you get confident in the fact that him against Liverpool's defenders, like I say, we were probably second best against Chelsea? I know they only scored one goal. Bournemouth, we were shocking to start with, kind of got things half right again. But it does feel like Newcastle have got themselves a genuine, proper centre forward. I'm a big Callum Wilson fan. I always am. And I thought he's been a really good player for everyone he's played for, including, you know, including England as well. But it does feel like Isaac potentially has got that next level in him where he can hurt anybody, really. I've been hugely impressed. What's the general thought of him in the Newcastle fan base?
Oh, he's everyone's kind of, it sounds silly, but there's some sort of likeness towards Thierry Henry, not in terms of, you know, exactly like him, but just the way he sort of plays, and probably his stature as well, because he looks like the same sort of stature as Henry. But yeah, he's the best striker that we've had in the club, other than, you know, Alan Shearer as an out-and-out goal scorer is obviously a cult hero, but I don't even think it's close. In terms of technical ability up front, like Alexander Isak is on another level as to what we've had before. And I think there are questions about it initially because of the fee. And obviously he picked up a little bit of a knock when he first came in. But as you mentioned, you know, he did very well against you initially, had a goal disallowed as well. And he's deceptively strong for his stature as well. It's just, you know, no disrespect to Villa again. Tyrone Mings has ended up injured after the challenge that he's had with him. But then in the second half, he's done exactly the same muscled. Who's there? The Konsa off the ball to make a mistake and then get a goal. So he's very dangerous. And I'm sure you probably saw that ridiculous dribble he did against Everton last season as well. Look, it just feels like he's got everything in his locker. And, you know, I don't think the likes of Van Dijk, for example, has really got back to that form that he really, really had. And I think he could have a good day. He's definitely got the ability to. And in terms of what Newcastle fans think of him, like, he's massively rated up here. Everybody loves him.
Thanks to Carl for that one. Yes, and thanks all you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Red Men Weekly Podcast. Like I say, redmenplus.com is the place to go if you want to listen or watch those shows in their entirety. There's loads more as well. There's loads that we could have put in here that we just simply didn't have the room for. So yeah, loads and loads and loads of content, including loads of historical stuff, as well as our documentaries, features, interviews. The Bobby Firmino 3-part documentary is still over there as well. So yeah, head on over to redmenplus.com. You can sign up monthly. There's no minimum sign-ups. You can basically pay for a month and see if you like it, and if you don't, cancel it. Or if you want to get yourselves a little bit of a bargain, you can sign up for a year and it works out a little bit cheaper. So yeah, all those options are available for you over at redmenplus.com. Thank you very much for listening to this one. Like I say, we'll be back next week with another episode of the Red Men Weekly Podcast, and we'll see you all then.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.